Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this conference. We thank you for all the words that you have spoken to us in this conference. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit and life that we have received in this conference. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we really love you. We love to take your word. We love to enjoy you in your word. We love to receive you through your word. We love to receive the shining of your face through your word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. So I believe that we have received a rich infusion of the Lord's word to us this weekend. To many of us, these words are very familiar. There may be a few here who are hearing them for the first time, but for most of us, we have heard these words many times before. But, saints, weren't they fresh this weekend? Right? Weren't they new this weekend? Hallelujah for the Lord's new speaking. Amen. On the one hand, the Lord's word is eternal. It never changes. It's there forever. But on the other hand, the Lord's speaking is always new. Amen. It's always fresh. Amen. It's always life-supplying. Hallelujah, that we can come to the Lord by coming to his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'd just like to read you the titles of the messages that we've had so far by way of a very brief review. I know we've had a lot of reviewing this conference. Like every message we had the preceding messages in a condensed form beforehand, and then we've had the message itself. So I want to do the same thing, but I'm conscious that I have to compress it. So I'll just read the titles to you of each message. So message one, the title was, Beholding and Reflecting the Glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We can behold the Lord and we can reflect the Lord.
Amen.
And as we behold the Lord and reflect the Lord transforms us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then message two, Christ as the image of God and the treasure in earthen vessels.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we were all made in God's image. And what is God's image, or rather, who is God's image? Christ is the image of God.
Amen.
And Christ is also a treasure, right? Christ in us is a treasure.
Amen.
We are the earthen vessels, but we have in our vessel,
Amen.
We have Christ.
Amen.
We have this precious Christ.
Amen.
This Christ of treasure in our vessels. So the image of God refers to Christ as our outward expression, whereas the treasure refers to Christ as our inward content.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then, message three. Speaking by the Spirit of faith.
Amen.
We have such a wonderful spirit, which in these verses in 2 Corinthians is called the Spirit of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the Spirit of faith.
Amen.
The Spirit of faith is just the Spirit.
Amen.
And this Spirit, the Divine Spirit, has come into our spirit, our human spirit. And these two spirits are joined together as one spirit.
Amen.
And this is what we call the mingled spirit. And this is the focus of God's economy.
Amen.
So we all have to exercise ourselves in the focus of God's economy.
Amen.
How do we do that? We speak.
Amen.
Having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I speak. Hallelujah. So this is message 3. Now, coming to message 4. Message 4. Living to the Lord. This is a very simple title. And in fact, in its structure, this is a very simple message. Living to the Lord, that means living to please the Lord. We want to please the Lord. We want to do what pleases the Lord. And living to the Lord, we will see as we go through this outline, also means living in resurrection. Hallelujah. We live to the Lord in his resurrection. So, although this message is, in a sense, a simple message, I found this message very touching. And I hope that we could all be touched by the Lord through this message. This message, you know, it comes after the previous 3 messages. So it depends on what we have seen in the previous 3 messages. And I hope that based on what we have seen in these messages, we can also be touched by the Lord concerning this matter of living to the Lord. Amen. So the first Roman numeral says, Christ died for us so that we may no longer live to ourselves, but live to the Lord. Amen. And we have this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 15, Paul does not speak of living for the Lord, by the Lord, or with the Lord. He speaks of living to the Lord. So we have these verses that we've just read, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15, and these verses are all through this outline. We keep coming back to these verses. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised. Amen. To live to the Lord is to take him as the aim of our living. In everything that we do, Christ should be our unique aim.
Amen.
So we have these verses in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself, and none dies to himself. For whether we live, we live to the Lord, and whether we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
To live to the Lord means that we are under the leading and constraining of the Lord to fulfill his demand, satisfy his desire, and accomplish his purpose. So we have 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the times of the ages. And then concerning himself, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:10, but you have closely followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, endurance. So God has a purpose. He has his own purpose. He has what he wants to do. And the Apostle Paul, he also had a purpose. And the Apostle Paul's purpose was just the same as God's purpose. The Apostle Paul took God's purpose as his purpose. So the Apostle Paul was living to the Lord. He wasn't living to himself, which means he wasn't working out what he wanted to do. He wasn't, he didn't have his own aim, right? He took the Lord as the aim of his living. And we should do the same. In everything that we do, Christ should be the unique aim of our living.
Amen.
So we're not here to please ourselves. We're not here to do something for our benefit. We're not here to do something to display what we can do, our capability, our wisdom, our knowledge, our talent, whatever it is. We are just the earthen vessels.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that we are the earthen vessels.
Amen.
It's Christ. Christ who is the treasure in the vessel.
Amen.
Christ who is the content. And we just want to be those mirrors. We behold Christ and we reflect Christ.
Amen.
And when people look at us, they see us, but they don't see us. They see Christ in us. They see Christ in us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that we're not here to show off. We're not here to demonstrate anything other than the Lord.
Amen.
We are living to him.
Amen.
We're not just doing something for him. We're not just doing something with him. We're not even doing something by him. We are living to him.
Amen.
We are living to him to what he wants, what pleases him, rather than what pleases us. This is what it means to live to the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what, in talking about the ministers of the new covenant, this is what this Paul comes to this point. You know, after he's talking about beholding and reflecting, after he's been talking about the image of God, Christ, the image of God, and the treasure in our vessel, after he's talking about speaking by the spirit of faith, the wonderful mingled spirit, the divine spirit and the human spirit together as one spirit, he comes to this point about we live to the Lord.
Amen.
And we are determined to be well pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
So, So I read B, didn't I? Right. So, this is the next point, point C. The apostles were determined to live to the Lord, to be well-pleasing to him.
Amen.
They were absolutely under the Lord, under his leading, restraint, and control. Everything they did was for the accomplishment of the Lord's desire and purpose.
Amen.
So in 2 Corinthians 5:9 he says, "Therefore also we are determined, whether at home or abroad, to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him."
Amen.
And again we have 2 Corinthians 5:15. "And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised." So Roman numeral 3 says, we should seek not to please ourselves, but seek to please the Lord by living to him.
Amen.
Now, the basic point here is that we should live to the Lord.
Amen.
But Before that, in chapter 5, in verse 14, Paul says, "For the love of Christ constrains us." Right? The love of Christ constrains us. This means that Paul is being constrained. He's not so free. He's constrained to live to the Lord. He doesn't have any other possibility. He doesn't have any other way to go. He has to live to the Lord. There's something constraining him so that he has to live to the Lord. And he's happy to live to the Lord, but there's something constraining him. Now, the really touching point is, what is the thing that is constraining Paul? It says, the love of Christ constrains us.
Amen.
It doesn't say the power of Christ constrains us. He doesn't say, anyway, he doesn't say the power of Christ constrains us. Paul isn't constrained by a harsh, kind of forceful constraining. He's constrained by the love of God.
Amen.
So we all need to be touched by the love of God so that we can be constrained in this way. And the result of us being constrained in this way is that we live to the Lord, which means that our whole life is just to please the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Our whole life is just has the aim of the Lord's purpose, the Lord's desire. There were three things: the Lord's purpose, the Lord's desire, and something else. Anyway, I'll find it in a minute. Anyway, so, you know, this is what the love of Christ, it does. It constrains us to live to the Lord, to live to the Lord's purpose. So we all need to be touched by the Lord's love in this way. This is why we sang that hymn, "Thy mighty love, O God, constraineth me." Like some strong tide, it presses on its way. We need to be swept along in a positive sense by this tide of the Lord's love so that we don't just go anywhere, we don't just do anything, we don't just please ourselves, we live to the Lord.
Amen.
We have a definite direction.
Amen.
Our life has a definite direction, and that direction does not come from us. That direction comes from the Lord. Yes.
Amen.
So now we come to Roman numeral 4. So I found this especially touching. Roman numeral 4 says, "Christ died for our sins so that we may be forgiven. And he died for us so that we may live to him."
Amen.
So, it is very precious and it's very necessary that Christ died for our sins. Because Christ died for our sins, we are forgiven.
Amen.
And we really need to be forgiven. And it is a blessing, a real blessing, to be forgiven.
Amen.
But that is not the only reason Christ died. Ultimately, Christ died for us, which means that he now possesses us. We belong to him. He has purchased us, right? So for Christ to die for our sins, this is something which is a benefit to us. If Christ didn't die for our sins, we would have to die for our sins. And that would be terrible. It also would be terrible for God because he wouldn't have any men with which to fulfill his purpose. Right? But what does Christ want? Okay, he has to solve the problem of our sins. And he has done that. But ultimately, what does Christ want? Christ wants us.
Yes.
Christ wants the earthen vessels.
Amen.
And he wants the earthen vessels to be exclusively to him.
Amen.
And he wants to fill the earthen vessels.
Yes.
So he died for us.
Amen.
He died to purchase us.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." So this is Christ dying for our sins. But again, we come back to these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised." So he died for us. Praise the Lord, he died for us.
Amen.
Now we belong to him. Christ's death not only saves us from death, so that we do not need to die, but it also causes us, through his resurrection, to live no longer to ourselves, but to him. To live to ourselves means that we are under our own control and direction, and that we care for our own aims and goals. To live to the Lord means that we are under the Lord's control and direction, and that we want to satisfy him and fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Living to the Lord is deeper in significance than living for the Lord.
Amen.
To the Lord implies that we are the Lord's possession, that we already belong to him. For the Lord implies that we are still our own and are according to our pleasure and convenience. Living for the Lord implies that I and the Lord are still two. Living to the Lord indicates that I am one with the Lord, as the wife is one with the husband in married life. So, if we are just living for the Lord is the Lord and we are we. Right? There's two people here. Here is the Lord, here is us, and we are doing something for the Lord. But it's still us that are doing it, and it's still, we're doing it according to our convenience and our pleasure. We're doing it because we like to do it, because we enjoy doing it, and because it suits us. But to live to the Lord, all that disappears.
Amen.
Right? We become one with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? This is the mingled spirit.
Amen.
This is the focus of God's economy.
Amen.
Right? Now we don't have any choice. We are one with the Lord.
Yeah.
We're just doing what the Lord is doing.
Yeah.
Actually, our doing is, it is our doing, but it's the Lord's doing in our doing. So we have to follow him. He's the one taking the lead, and we're the one following. And we just join together, right, as one spirit, which means actually one person. It says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That means the whole person, right? The spirit, the two spirits are joined together, but that means that the two persons are joined together.
Amen.
Right? That's why we have to live in our mingled spirit.
Amen.
Right? That's why we have to speak by the spirit of faith.
Amen.
Because that's where the join is. That's where the connection is. That's where we live. This is the focus where we live.
Amen.
In God's economy.
Yeah.
Right? So we can only live to the Lord by living in our one mingled spirit with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Romans 5 says, living to the Lord is based upon the fact that we are the Lord's. We belong to Him. We need to realize that the Lord bought us with the great price of His precious blood. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
Amen.
For you have been bought with a price.
Amen.
So then glorify God in your body.
Amen.
We have been bought with a price.
Amen.
We belong to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 says, knowing that it was not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. Now He is our Lord and Master, and we belong to Him. All that we have, all that we do, all that we are to Him. Everything is holy to Him, and now we should live to Him.
Amen.
This is what we should be as Christians. This is what we should be as ministers of the new covenant.
Amen.
This is what Paul was, right? He describes in these chapters his experience of dying with the Lord, his experience of the resurrection of the Lord, the Lord living in him. On the one hand, he says, death operates in us, but life in you. This was his new his serving as a minister of the New Testament. Death was operating in him, but life was operating in the believers. And it should be the same way with us. We should have these two things going on within us. Death is operating and life is operating.
Amen.
Just like the Lord Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, on the one hand death was operating, but it says being put to death in flesh, being made alive in spirit.
Amen.
At the same time he's being put to death in the flesh, he was being made alive in the spirit.
Amen.
So death was operating and life was operating.
Amen.
And it should be the same thing with us in our experience. We should, on the one hand, experience the death of Christ, and on the other hand, we experience the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Actually, the death of Christ is just the crucified Christ, and the resurrection of Christ is just the resurrected Christ. It's the person. Right? All these things are in the person of Christ. That's why we need to look at his person. We need to look at his face. And we get what he is. Hallelujah. Where am I? All that we have, all that we do, all that we are to him. Everything is holy to him, and now we should live to him. Okay, so now Roman numeral 6. We live to the Lord through his resurrection, the issue of his death.
Amen.
Right, so this is again in this verse that we've had so many times. He died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised.
Amen.
So the Lord not only died for us, he was raised.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He
Hallelujah.
Was raised.
Amen.
And this resurrection life is now to us.
Amen.
So A says, in ourselves, by our natural life, we cannot live to the Lord. You know, in our natural life, we're only capable of living to ourselves. Everything in our natural life, everything we do is for us. This is just the way it is with fallen human beings. The only way to be rescued from that natural living is to experience the Lord's crucifixion and the Lord's resurrection. Right? When we experience the Lord's crucifixion and the Lord's resurrection, we are released from living by our natural life, which is a selfish life. And which we heard this morning, actually Satan is hiding there. So we don't want that. So in ourselves, by our natural life, we cannot live to the Lord. Only through Christ's resurrection. What is Christ's resurrection? That is only through the issue of his death are we able to live to him. So we need to experience the Lord's death, and we need to experience the issue of the Lord's death, which is the Lord's resurrection. And it's in this resurrection life that we live to the Lord. Right? No, apart from that, there is no possibility for us to live to the Lord. It might be possible for us to live for the Lord, but in our natural life. It might be. But it's impossible for us to live to the Lord, except in the resurrection life. Because of this little phrase at the end of the verse, and has been raised. Right? Christ has been raised. His resurrection life is here, and we need to experience him in his resurrection life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be constrained by the Lord's love means to remain in his death. So the death comes first, which will bring in the enjoyment of his resurrection. And in the resurrection of Christ, we live to him. Praise the Lord. And then there's some verses Paul gives us in chapter 4 concerning this. Always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death operates in us, but life in you. Chapter 5, verse 15 is quoted here again about he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Roman numeral 7. Our living to the Lord proves that we are his and that he is our Lord, who died for us to purchase us to himself. Our living to the Lord is a declaration that we belong to him and that he is our Lord. Since we belong to the Lord, we take him as the only aim in our life and we live him.
Amen.
Living to Christ is expressed in the hymn, Jesus, I live to thee, the loveliest and best. My life in thee, thy life in me, in thy blessed love I rest.
Amen.
So here we have the constraining love of Christ, and the appreciation of Christ, right? The loveliest and the best. The person who wrote this hymn, they must have really appreciated Christ, right? They considered Christ to be the loveliest and the best. So we need to consider Christ to be the loveliest and the blessed and the best.
Amen.
When we consider him in this way, spontaneously, this love constrains us. And we live to him. And we live to him in his resurrection. And our living to him is based upon the fact that he has purchased us and we belong to him. We, the vessel, The earthen vessel belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And the earthen vessel should be used exclusively for the Lord.
Yes.
And the earthen vessel should be filled exclusively with the Lord.
Amen.
So that we can carry out God's New Testament ministry.
Amen.
By being New Testament ministers.
Yes.
According to all of these points that we have been enjoying.
Amen.
In this weekend.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Roman numerals 8. Living to the Lord is the real meaning of being a full-timer. One who is serving the Lord full-time.
Amen.
Right. So, ultimately, living to the Lord means that whatever we do in our life is just to Him.
Amen.
Our full time, all of our life, everything that we are, everything that we can do, the whole vessel belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And we are to the Lord.
Amen.
To be a full timer does not mean that we need to give up our job. Though some may be led by the Lord to give up their job. But even if you're not, you're still a full-timer. Or you still should be a full-timer. Right? Meaning, you should still live to the Lord. Right? To be a full-timer means that whatever we do to the Lord. So if we have a job, we do that to the Lord. If we look after our family, we do that to the Lord. Whatever we are to the Lord. And whatever we have to the Lord. To be to the Lord and to live to the Lord means that we are one with Him. We do not live to ourselves, but to the Lord. We all should be like this, loving the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I finished the message too quickly.
Oh,
Lord Jesus. Yes. But we just need to be touched by the Lord.
Amen.
We need to live to Him.
Amen.
Right. Which means we need to be one with Him.
Amen.
Which means that we need to be filled with Him.
Amen.
Have our vessel filled with Him. So that we can express Him, right? We can have the real image of God can shine out from us. Which means that we have to behold the Lord.
Amen.
So that we can reflect the Lord.
Amen.
So that the Lord can transform us.
Yes.
Which means, right back to the beginning, we need to turn our heart to the Lord. Right? When we turn our heart to the Lord, all these subsequent things happen, right? So, Lord Jesus, may we all continue to turn our heart to the Lord every day.
Amen.
May we all continue to behold the Lord.
Amen.
Properly, adequately.
Amen.
In His Word.
Amen.
Every day. So that we can reflect Him.
Amen.
So that He can transform us.
Amen.
So that we can be prepared.
Amen.
Through the washing of the water in His Word.
Amen.
Through the washing of the water in the Rhema Word.
Amen.
The Word that is Spirit and life.
Amen.
To be His bride.
Amen.
Right? He is, like we heard this morning, He's coming back for His bride. Right? Everything in the world is kind of, it could be ready pretty quickly, right? You know, like Ray said, the whole world living on a razor edge, right? Anything can happen, right? But that's the world situation. But what about our situation? We need to be prepared. The bride needs to make herself ready, right? How can we make ourselves ready? Well, we need the washing of the water in the Word.
Amen.
We need to behold him. We need to reflect him. We need to allow him to operate in us, to work himself into us, to transform us, to become the treasure in us, to shine forth out from us in the gospel. You know, the gospel is going forth in France right now.
Amen.
Right? We heard this is the season for France.
Yes.
Right. But what is happening there in France, or what should be happening there in France, is that we are shining forth Christ.
Amen.
Right. The gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. The real gospel is the shining forth of Christ.
Amen.
People need to see his face.
Amen.
When they see his face, they'll be saved.
Amen.
Right? This is the gospel.
Amen.
What else? So we're the treasure in the vessel. We've got the image of Christ shining forth. And what does this all add up to? It's living to the Lord.
Amen.
We're not here for anything else. We're just here for him.
Amen.
To please him. Being determined to be well-pleasing to him. Just as the Apostle Paul was determined, and all the apostles were determined to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Living to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.